Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. Today we have once again another co-host derived from our powerful Thrive Make Money Matter event only 2 weeks ago in San Diego, California. And this gentleman is part of this target audience of the show here. We're all about trying to get through to the Generation Xers and the millennials out there that are out there trying to hustle and bustle and basically break out new goals in their lives. And this guy's got some energy, man. We met a couple of times during the event, and he's just been anywhere and everywhere. And I'm excited to introduce him and bring him on the show as a co-host because he's actually an up-and-coming author. He's working on a book. We'll talk a little bit about that called Breaking the Habit. And he's also the founder of successforscholars.com. Again, we'll let him dig into that more too, because literally he and I haven't had a chance to really sit down and have a proper conversation. So as most of our prior Thrive co-hosts, it's all about real time. You guys are getting to know him right with me. So without further ado, I'm just going to bring him on here. Please welcome Julian Bradley as your co-host to the show.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really do appreciate it.
Hey man, I'm glad to have you on. I love your energy from the event, man. We're, again, maybe generationally different, but not short on motivation or just being just totally pumped. You still there, Julian?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. My microphone went on mute.
Oh, that was crazy.
It's all about having energy, like yourself. I mean, fuel. Energy is the fuel that's going to move you throughout the day, and it's going to help you hit your goals. So, you know, you got to have energy, you got to have enthusiasm.
Exactly. And this is cool. So, I mean, just so people listen in, most of my episodes so far since I launched this show in September have been like, I try and go as real as possible. I love traveling with my gear and doing in person. But just to catch people up, like, you're actually a fellow Pennsylvania guy. Aren't you down in Philly?
Yes.
All right. So, but obviously our schedules are crazy and it is a Friday. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what, dude, let's just bang it out over Skype. And like last night I was on the phone or on Skype with a guy 3 hours behind us back in California. So that's the power of technology here. So
I love it.
So with you and me catching up on things, besides the energy, besides being pumped, why don't we get your quick opinion here, man? Like, why did you go to Thrive?
Oh man. So I went to Thrive first. I just saw the list of speakers.
Oh yeah.
And I know whenever you have a list of speakers with that type of caliber, what's going to happen is they're going to attract and draw a certain type of people like you and me who are operating and thinking on a different frequency. And I like to surround myself with people who are thinking about taking their game, their life, their relationships, everything to the next level and really living to their potential. And I knew that would be the place for me to go. I actually got invited to go out by Tyler. Tyler hooked me up with some tickets. I was like, say no more. I'm out there. I showed up. Best event I've ever been to. For those who are listening, I highly recommend you go in 2017 for sure.
Well, I already bought my tickets. So did you buy yours that day as soon as he unlocked them?
No, I did not. I need to.
Oh, man. You got to seize the day. Carpe diem, man.
I know, right? My fault.
Well, it was funny because like literally that was like the end of the event. We were in the process of trying to help PJ achieve his goal of building that school with Pencils of Promise, which we nailed it. And then we're also, so I'm literally trying to pay attention to Cole, but I'm also like trying to hook up PJ by donating through my iPhone to his event. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to buy the tickets for next year. And I'm like, okay, so we're multitasking here.
Yeah. I actually had it open on my screen and I just didn't get back to it. I was focused on helping PJ, you know, fund the school. So I donated and I also posted on my Facebook and my Instagram. I said, hey guys, real quick, we have a short time frame. You know, if you can donate right now to help build the school, I would greatly appreciate it. And, you know, the biggest thing that I got from that event was that it's a lot better in life and a lot better in business when you tie what you're doing to a purpose that is greater than yourself. And for me, I wasn't really giving to the point where I should have been. You know, it was like spotty here and there, but it wasn't something that it was just like, yes, I'm consistently going to give back to something that's bigger than myself and help out a lot of other people. And I didn't even really know what Thrive meant. I know it said make money matter, but I really didn't understand what it meant. I just went out there and it was a refreshing shock that they're all just about helping you make more money so you can give more away.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that. And that was like a huge eye opener for me. I came back. I started giving back more. I committed to building my own school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you doing what PJ did with Pencils of Promise?
Yes.
Really? Yes. All right. Did you launch your own page yet?
I contacted Adam, and I'm waiting for him to get back to me. I'm trying to figure out, because there's like five or six different – actually, there's probably eight different ways you can create a page on there.
Okay.
And I want to make sure I create the right page before I make, you know, my donation. I have
donations. You want to send the right message. That's the most
important. Exactly. Because some of them don't do school. Some of them do school supplies. Some of them do food. Some of them do different, like, school staff.
Okay. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options, and there's two that I'm really confused about I want to make sure I'm picking the right thing to build, like, a school like PJ did. So I'm waiting to hear back from Adam, but I know he was bouncing around, flying around, and he's got a baby on the way. So, hopefully I get a response from him by Monday. If not, I'm just going to create it and then, you know, do whatever.
Well, and that's something else we could take away from events like this is that I just came from another coaching event for another guy that I've had on the show too, just helping him with his new project. And it's like, you know, we'll do all the background work we can. You do all the effort to try and reach out to the right people and do the right things. But in the end, sometimes you'll get pushed to a point where sometimes you just got to take action. If that means you got to come back later and do some editing and changing, then so be it. I mean, it's better than sitting there and spinning your wheels and then maybe feeling guilty or actually just feeling broken because you haven't really pulled the trigger. And it's like, just pull the trigger, man. This is life. Life is short. Just get it done.
Exactly. Just take action. I love it, man. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. I remember John Assaraf, he was there. He was just saying, if you can just train your brain consistently to, when you decide you want to do something, just go and do it.
Right.
Like right now. And you'll start to get in the habit of taking action on your thoughts. And, you know, you start off really small, like, hey, I want to go grab this bottle of water. Go grab it. You know what I mean? And then it just goes from, hey, I need to go do this report, or I need to make this phone call. That's phone call that you're dreading. And then it just builds on itself. And then, boom, you're like operating at peak performance. It's great.
Well, speaking of peak performance, I was telling you earlier how I like to try and I don't know a ton about you yet, because everything happened so fast at Thrive. There was over 600 attendees, everywhere from the millennial generation up to the baby boomer generation. So we had people from all walks of life, all different success stories or success stories to come. And something about performance just made me laugh because, like, part of my recent research literally this morning was apparently you're an axe thrower now.
Yeah.
What was that all about, dude? Where was that at?
So over in Philly, there's a place called Urban Axes, and I was there for a birthday party, actually. One of my friends who's a lawyer, he had a little event, a gathering, and it was pretty cool. It's different because obviously you have to fill the axe right, because you need the blade actually to go into the board, and you actually need to stick. So it was definitely a new experience, and look forward to doing it again, man. We should do it sometime.
Oh, I'm game. I don't care. I've thrown axes. It's been years since I've done it, but I've never had to throw it at a target like that in a closed environment. It was outdoors.
Yeah, so. it was a competition. We did like it was a whole tournament, actually.
Get the hell out. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So,
wait, did you know you were walking into a tournament?
No, I just thought we were just throwing axes. I mean, it was BYOB, so you can bring beer.
Okay.
We had beer. We had wine. We ordered pizza. We were just hanging out, you know, drinking a few beers, throwing axes, and then all of a sudden they're like, all right, ready for the tournament.
I'm guessing they have you sign waivers when you walk in.
Oh yeah. That's like the first thing they do. Like, give me your license and, sign this waiver real quick in case you die or something like that.
In case your BYO went a little too far and
exactly.
Your axe ends up hitting a ceiling or something. I don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great, man. I loved it. It was fun.
I got to respect that. That's actually a smart business model. I mean, that's a great example of somebody thinking outside the box. Like, who would have thought in one of the biggest, most historic cities of the USA, Philadelphia, you know, our home of a lot of our founding fathers. And it's like, okay, somebody thought, hey, why do axes belong outdoors? Or why not bring them into an environment where it kind of looked like you're in almost like a batting cage type setup?
Yeah, it was an old textile place. You know, on the way there, I was actually thinking, okay, this is a great business model. One, because, I mean, the axes, they're there. You know, they're not disappearing after, like, a few uses, right?
No.
All they do is replace the board. So I was thinking to myself, this is a great business model. How much could it possibly be for me to throw an axe? So I was there. I was there and I was thinking on my way there, I was like, oh, it could be $10, $15, $20 max, right? So I get there, and then after signing the waiver, she's like, okay, that'll be $35. And I was like, wow.
Is that like all you can throw for $35? Or
yeah, it was like for a couple hours. It was like we were there for like two and a half hours.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting. I was like, you know, bowling is, you know, it's kind of expensive. Not expensive. None of it's really expensive, but it's just how we perceive it. And I was thinking that it was going to be like $15-$20 because this is like, oh, you're just throwing an axe at a board.
Yeah.
But like, no, this is a great business model. I'm like, I should open up one of these. I mean, what am I replacing? A little board, you know, every once in a while?
Your overhead has got to be minimal. I mean,
it's nothing.
maybe their business insurance is a little higher. I don't know about that one. You might want to dig into that type of stuff.
That's true.
I don't know how you would insure. I don't know how that works.
Throwing axes.
Maybe they fall under the same insurance policy as a batting cage, because like you could potentially hit somebody with your bat. I mean, this one has a sharp edge, but you know.
Yeah. This one, if you hit someone with the axe, I mean, you might be losing a limb or something like that.
Well, I'm blanking on her name. I believe she was with you. We met at Thrive. She was saying you guys have like a networking group or whatever down there, don't you?
Oh, Alexa. Yes.
Yeah, Alexa.
Yes. We started a Philadelphia Entrepreneurs Group. And basically, the whole purpose of the group is to surround yourself with like-minded individuals. It's a smaller, closed group. Mm-hmm. And we basically just every month we get together and we talk about our strengths, our weaknesses, how we can help each other. What are some of the challenges that we're having right now in our businesses, and see if we can, you know, connect the dots and give some people some solutions. So, that's what we're doing. And we also do like little workshops as well, where we get together and we just do work and, you know, chat. So it's a good environment.
Okay, good. So, I mean, that sounds pretty cool, because I'm a big supporter of masterminds and inner circle groups and whatever you want to call them. There's lots of different names nowadays. But the most important thing is, are you gathering in the bigger picture goal of helping those around you, not yourself? I mean, in the end, it's hard for a lot of people to come into an event like that and not think about themselves. But the big picture is, if you help enough other people, that will always come back in return. And usually if you did it right, tenfold. So it's just people have to get past that whole timeline issue of, okay, well, maybe they want some results right away. And it's like, dude, like, let's focus on a few other people in the room. And then we can come back to you and work on you as well. Like, it's okay. We'll do the full circle thing.
So. Yeah, I love it, because, you know, I'm a coach, and I'm a peak performance coach, and I also do business consulting too as well. So I love just digging in deep into certain businesses and seeing what solutions we can pull from any challenges that they're currently having. It's
now
great.
Is that something that you're marketing through the successforscholars.com site, or
No. I'm actually not. Well, it's like an upsell on there. So basically, for those who are listening, Success for Scholars is something that I started basically because when I was younger, I used to do a thing called Cutco, which I sold kitchen cutlery to a lot of people, mostly moms and dads at the kitchen tables. And what happened was, I have over 600 clients, and almost all of them said, oh my gosh, I wish my son or daughter had your mentality, or I wish they knew the things that you knew, or I wish I knew the things that you knew when I was your age, or even right now. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, well, I'm not that special. What am I doing that's different? Well, I'm just repeating the same things that I'm practicing from the books I've been reading, the mentors I've had, the conferences I've been going to, and the people I've been surrounding myself with. And it came to the point where my friend actually made $50,000 in 1 week making his Twitter product. And it was like a course. And I was like, cool, I think I could, you know, do that. I don't know anything about Twitter, but I'll be cool to make a course. She's like, yeah, well, what were you making? I'm like, I have no idea. So he was like, well, what are you really good at? I'm like, personal development, coaching people, and sales. And he was like, well, make one on that. And it got to the point where I see a lot of students who are graduating right now, as I'm sure you can imagine, with massive amounts of debt.
Oh, yeah. I still have college debt.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm in my 30s, so I'm like, deal with it.
Follows you around everywhere. So, I mean, I see people just in the situations that they don't really know how to elevate and step up their game so that they're breaking through and getting to that next level, whatever it is for them. And because school doesn't really teach you how to be successful. So success for scholars, what it does, it really bridges the gap between traditional education and personal development. And it teaches students who are in school and out of school the skills, the right mindsets, the habits, the mentality that the most successful people use in order to crush it. So that's pretty much what it is. I mean, I got the youngest person in, who's in Successor Scholars, as I know, I think, is 13. And
wow,
the oldest
really?
Person, yeah, the oldest person is like 65 or something.
Real quick on that, how do you target or I say help the, obviously, I mean, if they're under 18, is this something that you're working through the parental relationship on?
Yeah,
or, okay.
Exactly. So I've been marketing to the parents to get it for their son or daughter.
Okay, all right.
And a lot of times the parents see what's inside of it, and I show them samples or, you know, they see the website, and they're like, wow, I could definitely use this right now in my business, or I can use this right now where I'm working at my employer to help, you know, get that next promotion or whatever. So it's great. It's great. I love it.
So it's funny thing is, so your branding is, makes you think more of that younger generation or the in-school generation. But to be fair, if the content is valid and the platform is valid, it sounds like, hey, parents are in there looking for their kids. Like, oh, dude, actually I could use this too.
Exactly. So I look at it like a board game.
Oh, really?
You know, I look at it like a board game because, you know, you ever get a board game that says, you know, 5 and up or 10 and up or whatever. You start at a certain age and then you can, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, you can play it. I look at it like that because who am I to say that since you're 10 years old or 13 years old or whatever, you shouldn't have the, you know, the opportunity to learn these things that can put you on a whole nother playing field at a younger age than ever. You know,
I agree with that. There's like I have a niece and I have a nephew, and it's like, you know, they're just because I purposely buy games versus toys. Maybe I'm that, you know, jerk of an uncle. Sorry. I want to feed the brain, so to speak, not just give them boob tube type of games or video games or any of that crap. Sorry. I just don't believe in that. So maybe I'm old school that way. But to your point, I know for a fact that just being around them, they're at a different learning level. So just because the board game says by your age demographic that this is the right thing for you. And I'm like, well, then what's wrong with giving them the next level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you help coach them into that game, and then maybe they're not ready right away, but now they've got something they can actually grow into versus they're already at the end of it, and as soon as you give it to them, they figure it out, and then, you know, it's in the trash next year or they're donating it somewhere.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a lot of awareness, you know what I mean? So I look at it like this. I go into, you know, like I said, habits, you know, goal setting, you know, making sure that you're aware of all your choices, emotional intelligence, finances, understanding the game of money. And I think about all those things are good for anybody, but let's say someone who's 13 or 11 years old, they might not understand the whole finances thing. Like, you know, when I talk about credit, debt, how to, you know, mortgages, interest rates, you know, how to invest.
Right.
And that might go over their head, but who knows? That could be the next Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett was doing that when he was very young. So, like, who am I to discount and say that just because you're a certain age, that doesn't mean I'm going to put you at a disadvantage?
I actually highly agree with that. I mean, too many people, I think, look at the surface level demographics when they're talking to people, working with people. Like, take the time to figure people out at a deeper level, and don't look at it just by their age or their sex or their. I mean, it's. I can't tell you how many millennials like yourself that I met at that event. And it's funny because people are like, oh, well, who are you trying to target with your podcast? And I was like, you know, the millennials and the fellow ex-gens like me. I mean, granted, I have other people listen to the show now that I found out that are older generations than that, because they're still trying to figure out our generation. And then there's this huge boom of the millennials. And to my point, though, is like, there was a ton of people like yourself. They're very self-motivated, very driven. They're already have a lot of crush it stories already, like making income levels more than I did at their age. So I was like, dude, that's what I'm talking about. And kind of rewinding and bringing it back full circle to the message of Thrive, which is why you and I are still high from coming off that event. It's just, dude, it's okay to want to make more money. I've had the struggle of that in my life. I didn't grow up with a lot. I had to work for everything. I had to pay for my own school. No one ever gave me anything. You know, I bought all my own cars, all of that. And the biggest thing that I took away from that is that, wow, I've actually held myself back many times over the year because I was afraid to make the money. You know, I didn't want to be, I actually, when I was younger, I think I saw richness or wealth as a negative because I grew up with less. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money, especially if you're doing the right thing by it and with it.
Yes.
And you're using it. It's what we talked about many times. Multiple speakers, they said, listen, it's a resource. Get past the physical piece of paper, which technically isn't even worth anything if you actually understand anything about money, which we talked about at the event too. You know, it's a value factor. So it's like, for example, today I was having a coaching session with a guy and there was no exchange of money. It's funny because Lewis Howes's book that he gave us all in the audience, right? How powerful was that? I had Lewis write in that book a comment and dedicate that book to the gentleman I met with today. And Brian, if you're listening, yep, we're looking you out, man. So I didn't even take the book for myself. Also because I'm an audiobook guy. So I'm just going to go online and buy the audio version anyway because Lewis has it available on Audible. I crush more books, audio versus reading nowadays. But the point here is that I didn't have to pay for that. So they're already, boom, Lewis has value in my book, right? Because he gave something to so many other people, all right? He established more cred and more value to me because he gave something more. And he can afford to do that now because of the success of his book. I mean, come out with New York Times bestseller. I mean, hello. Ridiculous. Yeah. There's some motivation for us and you writing your book. But the point here is that we got to get past the dollar. And it's like, okay, well, if you have more dollars or more value than somebody else, are you hoarding it just for yourself? Or are you doing things to find a way to establish more purpose with your life, your business, whatever it is you may be doing? Like, let's dive into you a little bit more, man. Like, why did you decide, like, hey, you know what? Okay, breaking the habit, for example, how to develop good habits for success in all areas of your life. You're in the middle of writing that right now. This will be your first physical book, right? Because you already have an ebook.
Yeah. Okay. I have an ebook.
So why?
So
yeah, go ahead and bring that one up because I don't have the name of that one.
Oh, it's called Goals Made Simple. Okay. But yeah, the physical book, this is actually the first physical book that I'm writing. And I think you were going to ask, you know, why did I write the book?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, so, but what fueled that fire?
Well, if this is the thing that fueled it. I understand that if you want to become successful at anything or be unsuccessful at anything, it really just starts from your habits and the rituals that you have. Right.
Okay.
So your habits determine your lifestyle, and you can find yourself having habits that are actually pulling you away from your goals rather than pushing you towards your goals. Right. So I the main focus of this whole book was to help people get rid of their bad habits and, you know, just get rid of them and then replace them with things that are going to help push you towards your goals rather than hold you back. So that you can get anything that you want quicker. Because like I said, your habits determine your lifestyle. If you want to be fit, then and your habits sitting down on the couch all day and eating, you know, chips and donuts.
Or pizza and beer.
pizza and beer, yeah. Right? You're not going to have that energy. You're not even going to have that energy to fuel you to do other things that you want to do in your life because it starts off from your habits. And sometimes the habits – you know, the chains of habits are too heavy. And, you know, what's that quote? The chains of habits are too heavy until they can't be broken. So I don't know.
Well,
I just butchered.
You don't have to verbatim. I mean, again, we don't care about verbatim. I think it most important thing here is the message that you're bringing forth from a quote that clearly inspired you. So,
yeah. Yes. So I think it's, oh yeah, here it is. The chains of habit are too light to be felt. Into they're too heavy to be broken.
Nice. Oh well, I'm glad you looked that up because that has way more depth. I love that. That's got a nice philosophical tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So it's great. I mean, at the end of the day, it's so important that if you want to get any result, you just look back and say, okay, what habits am I going to develop so that I can get that result?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up. So clearly, that fueled you from the ebook transition to now wanting to do your own physical book? Because that's something that you must have obviously had to learn through yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We all have had to do that. I could tell you, when I was in my 20s, I was already in a corporate gig. My friends were still finishing college. I was making more money than them when they came out. It doesn't mean I knew what the hell I was doing with that money, but fine, great. I had a great paycheck because I took time off from college and started focusing on my career instead. And I was doing well with it without having a degree and making more money than my friends that coming out of school. And they were always like, I don't understand what you do. You don't have a degree. And I'm like, I work hard. That's how it goes. So, but my point here behind this was I reached a breaking point probably mid to late 20s. And it's funny. We talk about books a lot. And I actually, there's now multiple versions of this. There's other authors who have titled books this way, but I actually decided to hunt down a book called Quarter Life Crisis, because everybody talks about people's midlife crises where they go out and they spend a bunch of money on a fancy car or, I don't know, whatever people have their midlife crisis with. I'm too young for that. So, but I was like, is it possible to have a quarter life crisis? And I'm sure you observe this as being a millennial. There's nowadays, there's a lot of people talking about, and I don't agree with this wholeheartedly. I don't. A lot of people say that millennials are weak. And I want to call that out a little bit here. There is a percentage that I have concern have some weakness. But there's a crap load of percentage, clearly from people from Thrive, like you and everybody else I met, that's like, dude, there's no weakness there. What it is that's a want to succeed. That's a want to drive. That's a want to actually have purpose. And that's where I think a lot of companies need to do a better job of studying their millennial generation coming into the workforce, is that it's exciting because you guys want to have purpose. You want to actually, there's something bigger than what you're doing. It's not just the job or the job description. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are weak. It doesn't matter if you're a millennial
or ex-gen
or ex-gen baby boomer. Everybody has to understand that they need to master themselves, and you can't help coach or lead somebody else if you don't know how to lead yourself. And what it really comes down to is understanding how to motivate somebody who might have different motivations than you, and how to enroll them in your vision for your company or whatever job or position that you're doing, because millennials now have more opportunities, there may be different type of jobs or opportunities, but they're quicker to leave, get up and go and leave. You know, if they don't like where they're at, they're not going to sit there and stay. I mean, my parents' generation, now if they didn't like a job, they'll stay there because they that's what you do. You know what I mean? Just stick it out.
As a Gen Xer, you know, I just turned 39. And I could tell you, even when I was in my 20s, you know, trying to crush it in the post.com corporate type growth pattern, I think the longest I stayed at a company was 5 years. And but then as I watched the demographics shift over the past 10, 15 years, it's like, yeah, man, the whole 2 to 3 years at a company, pretty normal. It's okay now. So that's where I think the millennials have seen that now, is like, hey man, that was baby boomer generation. Back then, I don't think there was as many opportunities and as much flexibility or as much freedom that there is now. This doesn't mean that everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur or have those entrepreneurial spirits like you and I. Like, some people might still love to work for a company. But the most important part here, to your point, is that if you do not agree with the ethical decisions of a company, I think the millennial generations is one of the first generations to have the balls, or whatever, if you're a female, to say, you know what? Hell no, man. This is not what I'm looking for. I will go find something better.
Yep.
And I mean, it sounds like you completely agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with it right now. I mean, I'm living through it right now. Like I said, I'm a licensed financial advisor. It wasn't something I was passionate about. You know, it wasn't something that I saw myself wanting to create a career. It was too much red tape. You know, it wasn't meshing for me.
Right.
And instead of just saying, hey, I'm going to stick it out, and because I've been in sales, I know how sales go. And, you know, it wasn't anything new to me besides just the whole processes of, you know, getting the licensing and everything like that. And there's a whole lot more red tape. But at the end of the day, it's just like you have to ask yourself, is this going to make me want to jump up and tap dance out of bed? That's what Warren Buffett is called, the tap dance out of bed effect, where you are just so happy to wake up in the morning and just work, or you know, you can't, or you get mad at nighttime because you have to go to sleep.
Yeah, that's scary. That's pretty scary. Life is way too short to have that kind of negative psychological impact on your lifestyle day in and day out. We talk because I mean I'm a huge fitness buff, and you're a pretty buff guy, so you can get this. So it's like, dude, people don't understand the power of your health and your wellness, your physical well-being, but also your psychological, your mindset. All of that's intertwined. I mean, people are like, oh man, I had a terrible workout at the gym today. I guarantee you, your mind was probably jacked up. It's probably one of those variables because there was something not working right. Things weren't meshing that day. I can't tell you. I don't get under the weather. I don't know, man. Like I'm a pretty healthy guy because I tell people, like, dude, if you put your health and wellness first, your mindset first, that will drive everything you're doing. So clearly for you, for example, and what you just told us is that, hey man, you know what? I'm not happy with what I'm doing. It's not making me, you know, tap dance out of bed or whatever in the morning. So I'm going to start taking action little by little, right? Let's start changing up your circles of influence. Let's start attending some other events. Let's start building the process necessary to free yourself of that world. And it doesn't happen overnight. Some people, like, they have the freedom and no debt. They can just quit tomorrow, I guess, and do that. Mm-hmm. Great. But a lot of people can't do that nowadays, especially going back to your point earlier on the college debt and things of that nature. Like, man, it's scary for a lot of people coming out of school. And they like, man, I have to have a job. I have to have a job. And a lot of it is due to financial strain or just the fact that they haven't developed the mental strength and independence within themselves to have the balls, so to speak, to go and do something else.
Yeah. That's funny. You said when people graduate, you know, they're like, I got to get a job. You know, it's funny. Like I just graduated earlier this year and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But the thing I did know was I definitely didn't really want to have a job.
Okay.
That was like one of the things, like, ever since I was with Cutco, basically I worked at Best Buy before, and I was one of the top computer sales people, and I sold a lot of stuff and I didn't get any commission. So I'm like, why am I working so hard?
Because you're an employee.
Yeah, because I'm an employee, right? So then I went over to Cutco, and my first summer I made 30 grand. I was 17 years old.
Solid.
And I was just like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. You know, like, why am I going to have someone give me a cap on my income?
Well, I think every university has some type of Cutco business worked into it, right?
Hopefully.
I think so. I mean,
not all of them, but I mean,
I've never sold Cutco. Do I own a couple of their knives? Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So their business model has clearly worked over the years.
Mm-hmm. They're the absolute best. And their training is great. So, like, that's where I really just started to get into personal development, because I started to look at these top performers in our company, and I was looking at them. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me if I think this way and if I read these things or listen at the time, because at that time you couldn't pay me $50 to read. For 10 minutes if I wasn't doing anything. That's a whole nother story. I actually had the limiting belief that, you know, since I had ADD and ADHD, that, you know, I don't read. Like, I didn't read. Like, even while I was in school, like, I just BS'd it. And, I mean, I made it through. I'm a smart guy, but, I didn't really like reading.
Well, what people need to understand also is that now that you're in the coaching environment, I'm always teaching this to people, that I learned many years ago when I was doing corporate coaching that – there's the VAC method. Is not everybody follows this format, but there's basically three primary types of learning styles. There's the visual, the auditory, or the kinesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. The kinetic, whatever you want to call it. The point is, like, not everybody is going to be a reader. I'm actually vibing with you right now because I used to love reading books as a kid, and then as I got older, I just couldn't stand it. And then even when I went back to school to finish my degree in marketing and psychology years later as an adult, in my free time on weeknights and weekends, I still found it hard to read. And I realized that I liked immersing myself into an environment or a culture around me so I can absorb it. And that's how I got through that course load. It was just going to the classes and surrounding myself. That's why I love networking and going to events and everything else, is because we will learn things differently. Not everybody can be a bookworm, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, now I love reading. Now I read an hour a day.
Well, and now, that's my second part of the story. Why do you like it now?
Okay, this is actually pretty interesting. So I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Keller, Keller Williams Real Estate.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the book with Jay Papasan called The One Thing. And he actually came out to do a keynote at Cutco at a conference that I was at. So he mailed everybody a free copy of this book, right? So we got a chance like a couple of months before to read it. And so I got to the conference. I'm like, I just gave the book to someone else or I threw it away or something.
Oh, man.
But worst mistake. So I actually got to the conference and I listened to his speech and it was amazing. And if you were at a certain sales level and you were like a peak performer at the company, you had to have like a certain – you got to go like in a little bit private – smaller setting where you can actually like Q&A.
Yeah, like an inner circle one-on-one because you've earned the rights, so to speak. It was like one of their internal marketing programs to make people work harder. It's like, dude, if you want to make this much and be this successful because you'll be in that inner circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was called CSPs and FSMs. So I was one of them. So I got to go and actually get to talk to them. And that conversation absolutely changed my life. So basically what happened was I asked him, like, hey, where can I get some more information? And he said, well, don't you have the book? And I'm like, yeah, I got the book, but I don't read. And I'm like, when's the audiobook coming out? And he looked at me like I had five heads. And I was confused because he just stopped talking. He's like, you don't read? And I was just like, no, I hate I have ADD, ADHD. Like, I just don't like it. You know, you couldn't pay me to sit down and read. And he was like, I would think about that because look at it like this. You have two people. Let's say you are the person who reads zero books, and then there's another person who reads 10 books a year. Or if you're trying to be at the top in your field, you read 50 books a year like the average CEO does. And imagine after 10 years, one person has read zero, and then one person has read 50 or 500, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me, who do you think is going to see more opportunities? Who do you think is going to be more seen as a thought leader and more valuable in their marketplace? Who do you think is going to be more of an expert? And, who do you think is going to basically know about more opportunities so that you can make more money, right? And I was like, well, the person who reads more is like, well, there you go. And ever since then, I just started reading 5 minutes a day, then 10 minutes a day, and I got up to an hour. And it was really interesting because I recently had an opportunity to thank him because he was on a mastermind call and with like he was a guest speaker on someone like this one group that I'm in.
Is that one of the real estate investing groups or?
No. It's a group called Game Changers Academy by Peter Voog.
Okay.
Who also did Cutco and he's crushing it right now.
Nice.
He was a guest speaker. And so I actually said, I don't know if you remember this. You did like a Cutco conference a few years back, and you know you looked at me like you have five heads when I told you I didn't read, and he actually did remember me, and it was really funny on the call. And I was like, I just wanted to give you some sincere gratitude, man, that you changed my life. You know, if it wasn't for you, I would have just always had the limiting belief that I can't. You know, I'm not a good reader and I'm not a fast reader. I don't read fast, but
it's not always about the speed. It's about the retention. Like, what are you getting out of it?
You know, and I can actually give your listeners two valuable tips that I actually give to a lot of my coaching clients. So after you're finished reading something, listening to something, anything, you ask yourself two questions. One, what did I just learn? Now, when you do this, you're asking yourself out loud, because if you ask yourself inside of your head, you're just going to throw around a whole bunch of random jumbers words and you're like, oh, okay, I think I know what I just read, right? Because a lot of times people read, right, or they hear something and they didn't really understand it. They understand the words, but they didn't understand the concepts. So they just flip on the next page. So when you verbalize it and say, what did I just learn? You ask yourself and then you verbalize, I just learned X, Y, and Z. Then the second question is this. How am I going to implement this in my life today? Or if it's not something you can implement in your life, you just how am I going to implement this in my life?
Okay.
Verbalize that too as well. Because when you have to formulate a sentence, it becomes more real. You actually understand the concept. Because if you ask yourself sometimes when you just read over something, you're like, what did I just learn? You'd be like, I don't know. Then you really didn't, read it. You just read it.
And I can tell you, I actually implement some of that practices because I travel a lot. I'm in my car a lot. I get around a lot for one of my clients. And the same thing you're sharing with us can apply to the audiobook world as well. So that's where I'm going to agree and disagree with your influencer there, where he like looked at you crazy when you mentioned the audiobook piece, because again, depending on the kind of learner, some people learn differently. And I can tell you right now, I don't even know what my Audible stats are, but between the between the podcast recordings and the Audible, that is the only things that play in my car. I don't even listen. When my girlfriend gets in the car, that's when I have to turn that off, and I have to put like Pandora or the radio on, and I let her do that because I don't have any of that set up in my car. I purposely like wiped out all the FM presets, and I don't keep any CDs. I get rid of all that stuff. I leave it all deactivated because my car is basically a learning temple. So to your point, if I heard something really powerful off of an audiobook, I'm like, whoa, I hit pause. So I pause, or on a podcast, and just like you said, I'll repeat that to myself, because if I'm driving, I really can't write it down. But if I repeat it to myself, and depending on the kind of app you're using, sometimes you can tag stuff and go back to it later. So there's a second piece of that, which I'm not sure if you did. I don't think you mentioned it yet, but the whole writing things down as well, which is, I learned that when I was back in school. It's like, if I actually just wrote down the notes of what people were saying out loud, that's what, connected with me. And then right before a test, I would go back and rewrite those notes in a different way, like not verbatim. I'd have to make my brain read it, say it out loud, and I would rewrite it. I'd ace the test because it was just to your point. I wasn't just reading or I wasn't just listening. You have to apply a physical or a next level connection with that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So, like Gandhi says, there's different levels of understanding and actually like learning. So that's key, man. And another thing I would give a tip to your viewers is something my friend Dougie actually taught me. And when he listens to audiobooks, because I listen to audiobooks like an hour a day, and it's great. I like to keep that like at least in my schedule. And what he does that is really cool is he interacts with the audiobook. So he'll like, wow, that was great. And it was like, wow, I didn't know that this. Or they ask a question, like a rhetorical question, and he'll like answer the question, like he's having a conversation with the book.
Yeah, it's kind of do that.
Yeah,
so it might freak people out if you're sitting at a red light and you just see some dude just talking to himself.
It freaked me out. It freaked me out the first time he started doing it. I'm like, yo, dude, who are you talking to, man? He's like, no, I'm talking to the book, man. I'm like, well, why? And I started trying it. Then I actually started remembering more stuff because it was more like a conversation back and forth rather than me just hearing it on one end. So that's another maybe little ninja trick that you can.
You know what? I will reinforce your tip because I agree with you 110%. Because actually, I was just listening. One thing I love about Audible is once I own the books, I can go back and re-listen. So this month, one of my goals coming back from Thrive was to try not to absorb any new audiobook content. I decided the past 2 weeks to recycle all the most important content because I was also in the evenings coming back. And since I was listening to audiobooks during the day, I wanted to review my notes from Thrive. So that's been my personal commitment. So I said, okay, 2 weeks, you're not allowed to absorb any new audiobooks. It was just hard for me. But I went back and I started pulling up old ones. For example, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and Cashflow Quadrant. And again, you do real estate investing, so I'm sure you've come across his content.
Yeah.
And another classic, which is not a long read, is Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. And in that book, he actually, it's funny because the first time I listened to it, the first two times I listened to it, I didn't do his practices. Like he wants you to actually like put your hand on your heart and say something. And then he wants you to put your hand to your head and say, I have a millionaire mind. It's all this mindset, energy development stuff. And I thought it was total BS. And again, after Thrive and listening to some very, very successful speakers also talk to this stuff, Jack Canfield himself talking about energy, what we did with that wrist exercise and fingers growing along, like, dude, there's, you can't knock it till you try it, man. So so that's something that he even points out in that book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, is like, dude, you have to develop the mindset. And that means you are the weird guy talking to yourself in the car or the weird girl talking to herself at the gym while your headphones are in. Who cares? Like, why do you care? It's all about your success.
You know, one thing that I would give to your viewers that's a ninja trick that I actually learned from Bob Proctor, making your own affirmations mixtape, like affirmation CD, where I actually, you know, get my own, I get instrumentals off YouTube or, you know, whatever, and I put it in GarageBand and I hit record and I just go in and I get really pumped up. And I basically just talk about my affirmations, my goals, you know, my ambitions, who I, you know, who I am, who I'm, like the work ethic that I need, you know. And one of my favorite ones is Rocky in the morning before I go to the gym. You know, I play the Rocky,
the Rocky theme song.
Yeah.
You are such a Philadelphia guy.
Yeah, it's one of the best ways I wake up in the morning. And you know, I talk about, hey, it's, you know, it's time to get up out of bed. It's, you know, you're going to crush today. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to, you know, you're going to have an amazing day. You're going to attract the right people, places, and opportunities into your life. Everything is working for you. He's like, you're a positive abundance in all these different areas. Like, everything is progress. He's like, you're going to go up. You're going to work hard today. There's going to be obstacles, but you're just going to barrel right through them. You know, that's not verbatim what it is, but that's kind of like the sense of how these tracks are.
Well, the point is, it's that you are, there's so much stuff that you can get bombarded with once the day starts going. So that is one of our, and a lot of people recommend that, is a morning routine, whether it be meditation, focal point exercises, or what you're doing. And the whole point here is that before the shit hits the fan, you know, hey, let's do something about that mindset first thing in the morning. And let's make sure it at least starts off on a high note before anything else gets crazy. Because then if the day gets crazy, you have that to fall back on. It's like, dude, how did I start my day? Right? What did I do? And I'm a morning person. So I get up way before my girlfriend and I can't do a lot of stuff at the house. So I do some of this stuff in my car. Like when I hit the road in the morning and I got some morning meetings, or I just want to go and get some work done at Starbucks, you know, out of the house, because she's just not a morning person. I was like, all right, great. I'm out. I'll go do that in my car. I don't care. You can do it anywhere. What we are talking about is just simple best practices. These are things, going back to your point of your book that you're writing too, these are habits, man. Like, these are things that you got to start implementing. Even if it's just one, just pick one and start doing that. Set a goal for 7 days. Then if you got the whole week, okay, now go for 2 weeks, then go for 3 weeks. This isn't rocket science. Like, just try it. You can't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree. I do the miracle morning. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I have heard that term. I forget who created that, though.
It's Hal Elrod.
Okay.
One of my buddies. Yeah, it's an international best-selling book. It's a great book. Check it out. The Miracle Morning. But he goes and talks about the savers. You do the savers in the morning. So I do my first thing I wake up, I do my silence, and I do what I'm great, I say what I'm grateful for, right?
Gratitude is very, very important
for the first couple minutes. And then I go silence, I do my affirmations, I do meditation, visualization, I do my exercise, which I go to the gym every morning at 5:30, and then when I come back, it's usually when I do my visualizations and my meditation, and then I journal what my goals are and like my vision, and it wakes me up and it gets me in the right frame of mind, and it's great, you know, just getting in the habit of doing it every morning. You know, if I don't do it in the morning, something feels off for the rest of the day, you know.
Okay, I like that. Because you've developed a system. Like, this is your, these are, and I'm sure you're always open to making modifications and change, but for the most part, it sounds like you've got a pretty solid foundation. Like, this is how you're trying to ensure success day in and day out. Like, that's that one thing that you can control. That we have control over. That's something that you can build. And this is something important for the listeners. And again, guys, real quick, everything that he's been talking about, these books, all these different speakers we're discussing, don't worry. Every time we name drop a person, an author, a book, we have killer killer show notes, thanks to my VA, Martin Hollins, man. He will crush it on the show notes and make sure that everything that Julian is talking about is tagged and hyperlinked. So you can easily go right back to livethefuel.com, go to Julian's episode, and click on anything that he's talking about. And it'll take you to their websites, and you don't have to worry about taking notes. But my point here for you is that this is something that you had control over. It's like, you know what? This is my life. This is my day. This is my morning. What am I going to do to help ensure success? What are the habits that I'm going to implement and create a system behind? And I don't know, let's be honest here. I'm sure you probably had some off days where maybe you didn't get all that done, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not hard to put it right back on track the next day.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at it like this. This is like the analogy I use. So picture yourself as a soda can, and when you have a soda can and you give it to a baby and it's empty, right? It's easily could get dented, right? Mm-hmm. So little things throughout the day can easily dent the soda can. Even if you flick the soda can, it'll get dented, right? It'll kind of mess up the rest of your day. Now, your morning rituals is what's going to pressurize you just like the soda can. And that's going to give you that, you know, you could give the soda can to a bodybuilder and they can't crush the soda can. You know what I mean? Right. If it's pressurized. So what you do every morning when you're doing your affirmations, your visualizations, your journaling, your gratitude, your meditation, all that stuff, you're pressurizing yourself. So the little things that happen throughout the day aren't going to dent you and mess you up for the day, because you'll just brush it off and keep on moving.
Okay. I love that. Now, where did you learn that from? You make that one up on your own?
I have no idea where I learned that one from.
All right. But that's cool, though, because that's something that people can connect with. I think that's important just from a coaching best practice. Like, find things that are, you don't have to make it rocket science, man. Just make it stuff that people can easily understand. They could pick up what you're putting down. You know, they could relate it to something in real life, even though I do not believe in drinking soda and I haven't drank.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing. Yeah. I haven't drank soda in years.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's been 15 years since I've touched that crap. I'm not going to put poison inside my body. My body's my temple. So, but the point is, everybody knows what the heck a soda is. So,
yeah.
Whether we like it or not.
Water's not pressurized.
Yeah.
water's not carbonated or anything.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe we'll use soda water next time.
I could use a beer. Why didn't I say a beer?
Well, because, I don't know, it depends on how healthy you want to be there too, right?
I'd rather have a beer than a soda.
Yes, I would agree. So I guess what's next for you, man? I mean, we've had such, it's been great finally really, really digging into the depths of who you are. And I love the fact that you came from like a Cutco history. I had a couple of buddies in college that did that. Kind of quick rewind that. Companies like that are actually making a difference. Like, I have one of my other side hustles that I've had since 2010 is with a very modern, very successful network marketing company called Isagenix. Like, they're a nutrition company. I've been building a business team with them since actually 12. I didn't even really get into the business right away. But then I realized, like, holy crap, like, they're actually one of the influencers that helped me open myself back up to the entrepreneurial world. Because I realize now, 2016, looking back, I'm like, you know, they're basically, when you build a company the right way, it's like a self-development company with a product. So it's like, great, I've got all this self-development, all this coaching, all this group community stuff. I go to the events, great training. Oh, and I get kick-ass nutrition. Cool. So that's why I think I connect so well with it, because I'm a health nut. In your case, like Cutco, and I don't know if they're on that same business model or not, but the point is, like, they're teaching kids in school how to make money differently and also how to own and control what it is you're doing. And you're not just kind of like waiting for money to come to you or waiting to collect a paycheck. And I think that's the power of a sales type of gig like that.
It was awesome. I think I was 18 years old. I was running interviews, training people, you know, all that stuff. I was interviewing people who were like 30 or like 35. And they're like, how old are you? You know, because I was younger. I was like 18 years old. And I'm like, I'm 18.
I love that.
I'm like, you want me to show you how to make some money?
Yeah. Sure. But now it's funny though. Now, years later, and again, going to events like Thrive and everything else, again, big picture that we could take away from today's conversation is that you've realized, like, hey, man, great, they taught me how to make money and how that there is other opportunity out there. And if you don't want to be stuck in a 9-to-5 or whatever, you can, if you have that spirit, you can exercise it and learn to do something bigger. But also from Thrive, you're also realizing, okay, if we are making more money, it's not just because you become a better provider, but you can also become a better giver and a more powerful person with purpose because you can do more with more resources. And that's one of the biggest takeaways that I took for myself as well.
Exactly, man. For sure.
Awesome. So what's the next steps for you, man? What you got up coming up besides you finishing the book, obviously?
Success for scholars, man. That's what I'm really focusing on. I'm a real estate investor, so I'm working on flipping four houses right now. But for
four houses, Jesus.
Yeah, four houses. I went all in. And I just started. I just started flipping them about like two. I just bought them like 2 months ago. So yeah, went all in, man. I don't go hard. I don't go. I don't play around. I just whatever I say I want to do, I just go and do it and take massive action. But for me, success for scholars, make sure if you know somebody you think might benefit, you know, feel free to recommend them. You know, check me out on Instagram, the Influencer23.
I noticed that your Instagram was different. So,
yeah, yeah. The Influencer23. You can see me on Snapchat, JulianB233.
You do got the Snapchat. I just can't. I'm on there, but I don't use it. I can't. It's just everybody's got their own platform, I guess. It's everybody's got their own style. I'm big on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, but I just couldn't. I couldn't really click with the Snapchat. But for the millennial generation, man, like you guys are owning that platform.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are crushing it right now on Snapchat. My friend being one of them, he really figured out a way to monetize. He's making like $5,000 a week off Snapchat.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's crushing. Just doing,
yeah, and he's not even doing anything really. He has other people, you know, market their products. So let's say if you have a product you want to market, he'll charge like $200 or $500 for a snap, and the snap is only 10 seconds long.
That's crazy. so marketing platform, man. Get. It's a marketing platform. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of things you can do with it, man. But yeah, check me out on there. If you know someone.
And on Facebook, you're at Success for Scholars, right?
Yeah. On Facebook, you can type in Julian Bradley. You'll see me there. I post inspirational content, great content that's actionable that helps you get results.
And that's your personal profile, right?
Yeah, well, I have a public figure page as Julian Bradley too as well.
Oh, okay, good. So that's what you're talking about right now. That's your public figure page, and then you have a separate page just for Success for Scholars, so people can follow that there as well.
Exactly.
Awesome. Exactly. I'm loving this, man. Good. You're doing what you need to do. I tell people you got to exist. Control how you exist. Control how you get your content out there. That's the most important thing that people need to start working on. Is like, hey, if you got a message to be shared, you don't need to have 10,000 followers. I mean, if you have 1,000 loyal followers versus somebody's 15,000, which is just there because I have numbers, like, okay, what are you getting out of that? So you're doing things right. I like what you got throwing down.
Appreciate it, man.
So
thank you.
Since you're new to Live the Fuel, you've already dropped so many knowledge bombs. I hate to use that term. JLD uses that a lot, John Lee Dumas. But there was definitely some great tips being shared. I'm looking forward to seeing some awesome detailed show notes here. And we have a lot. All this stuff will be linked. We'll have all your profiles, what you just mentioned, your Instagram and all that also will be linked. But for you and for our audience, like, what would be a final message that you'd like to leave the show with? Like, okay, like big picture, maybe something umbrella that you're trying to throw out there. It's like, hey, man, this is what Julian's trying to do. This is like, this is a message that I want to use. It's an all-encompassing message to really leave impact to people.
Great question.
I know.
If I were to say one thing and leave you guys with this, is know that you are in control of everything. And when you take responsibility for everything, you're able to change anything. And it really starts from knowing yourself, being self-aware, and really investing in yourself. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself. A lot of times people, you know, invest in vacation. No, that's not even investment. You know, maybe. But, you know, investing in going to a concert or doing this. Invest in yourself so you will be able to have more experiences the way you want in life. And you can do anything you want.
I'm loving that. Well said, sir. Well said. Well, and hang on a line here for a second as we close out the show. But again, ladies and gentlemen, that was some powerful, powerful knowledge being shared today by the millennial master himself, Julian Bradley. I'm loving what he's doing. Check out Success for Scholars. I'm definitely going to be monitoring and following him. I'm going to be waiting for his book to come out. That's going to be awesome. And I just want to, again, guys, This is what it's all about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. If you didn't get some of that out of this today, then please stop listening to the show. I don't know what to say. But you know, he's putting it out there, man. He's putting it all out there. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you come from, what your lifestyle is. Let's make a difference in people's lives. Let's actually do something bigger with more purpose. And you'll find that life goes a lot smoother. You accomplish a lot more. And yeah, we all love Thrive. So if you guys want to come and hang with us next year, we're all going to be out at Thrive Make Money Matter 2017. So again, yep. Guys, thanks for listening in. That was Julian Bradley. Again, guys, we're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.